Imagine a young person with a problem, an embarrassing problem, trying to find out information about that problem.
Meet Pat. Pat has a bump.
Ooh.
Pat wants to find out more about it. Pat doesn't know where to turn, though. Pat is a little too embarrassed to talk to people just yet. Being a young person who's grown up mostly in the digital age, Pat decides that the internet is the best place to turn first.
That's an excerpt from a video that tries to visualize some of the challenges young people face on the net. Because the internet is great, but it's not always the best source of information. The Youth and Media Project at the Berkman Center just released a major report on how young people are seeking out information online and how they discern the quality of that information. Researchers Urs Gasser, Nathaniel Levy, Sandra Cortese, and Ned Crowley joined us to talk about where that report came from and some of the findings.
Quality.
But the starting point was our book, Born Digital, that I co-authored with John Palfrey. We looked into various areas, policy areas, associated with the ways in which kids are actually using digital technology, also known as the internet. We have mapped various areas. For instance, we looked into privacy issues. We've looked into risky behaviors. Cyberbullying is a big topic. The opportunities for learning, for civic engagement, and entrepreneurship, and so forth. We know that the internet has become the main source of information for many young people who have access to digital technologies and the skills to use the internet, to look up various things that matter in their lives, health information, information about education, financial stuff, as well as, of course, entertainment, right? It's also a place to listen to music, to download videos and so forth, and communicate with friends, hang out with friends in the virtual space. That being said, the information landscape has changed dramatically. How this information is produced and disseminated is very different from the past, from the paper world. There was, at least in theory, some control about the quality of the content. And now we all know not everything has been high quality content in the TV world and in the newspaper world either. Certainly it's fair to say that we are living even in a much more diverse information ecosystem than, you know, a few years back. Of course, you don't need to own a TV studio today to broadcast your own show. You can use YouTube. You don't need to own a printing press to become a publisher. You can just blog.
So the basic observation that motivated this paper is that the internet has led to structural changes in the information environment that in turn affect the quality of information. There are several factors that make quality judgments about information in the digital media ecosystem arguably more challenging and corresponding skills even more important. These factors include the increased and more diverse set of quote-unquote speakers online, the lack of traditional gatekeepers, the entrance of new intermediaries, the disappearance or replacement of mechanisms and standards aimed at ensuring certain quality levels, media convergence, and also context shifts. So, given that youth are turning to the internet more frequently and for a wider variety of information, touching on topics that are personally, socially, and academically relevant, we need to understand how they really find and assess information, and then what they do with the information that they find and assess. While information quality is an important issue for adults, too, looking at the youth experience of online info can help us understand how to best design information systems, policies, and curricula that channel the natural behaviors of youth online and take advantage of the affordances of digital media.
We've tried to make a conceptual contribution, which has much to do with this shift from a paper world to a digital world. The research perspective has not necessarily adjusted to this paradigm shift that we've seen in the ecosystem as far as information quality is concerned. So you see, even in today's research, a lot of discussion about credibility of information. But credibility has a particular connotation and is based on certain assumptions, which are essentially these old assumptions that the editorial choices are made somewhere. But the term information quality that we use tries to reframe this debate and say, okay, it's no longer only about the credibility of, so to speak, the information product you're confronted with, but it's an entire process, an entire experience of quality that matters. The search and browsing and recommendation aspects that we just discussed. Then, of course, the evaluation part, how do I make judgments about it? And then also what you do with the content, because what you do with content may later on shape your notion of quality and the notion of your needs.
Rather than imposing a specific definition for information quality, we developed a conceptual framework which includes the multiplicity of perspectives and contexts that relate to user experiences of digital media. Generally speaking, information objects have a number of characteristics. These characteristics can include credibility, timeliness, accuracy, aesthetic quality, and more. Any of these characteristics will be weighed varyingly by different individual users, depending on his or her information needs, preferences, skills, norms, and learned behaviors. Ultimately, there is no single set standard for determining if a certain piece of information is of high or low quality. Rather, we have to consider multiple contexts and variables and be conscious of our own perspectives as researchers and educators. The conceptual framework we created expands on the existing credibility paradigm toward what we call information quality. This shift has three important elements. First, as was just mentioned, we propose a stronger process rather than product orientation. Whereas credibility assessments look at an information object at a given moment, we have found that the quality of information is dynamically related to where a user is in the process of using that object, whether searching, evaluating, sharing, or creating. Second, we recognize that students' need for and use of information vary depending on context, which we generalize as the personal, social, and academic context. What youth find as high-quality information in the social context may not be high-quality in the academic context. For example, information that is useful to a youth in a social setting, such as language used in SMS communication, may be of low quality in an academic setting. Understanding how these quality-related behaviors can move across context is a necessary precondition for channeling youth out of school activities and skills into desirable learning goals. Finally, we find that most research approaches information quality from four general perspectives. The perspectives are not mutually exclusive, but they represent well the assumptions of the respective studies. The four perspectives are the ethnographic, the adult normative, the systematic, and the prescriptive. The difference between them is the varying perspectives of multiple actors, including youth, parents, researchers, and educators.
The opportunity, of course, is that it's because there are strategies emerging that this is a great starting point for conversations about some of the challenges. It's good for parents, for peers, for also schools and teachers to talk about these online experiences and ask hard questions. So how would you know that your Facebook friend is saying the truth? And why would you read only the piece friends are referring to and not go a step further and click through various links and visit different sources if you write a paper for school or something like that? So, you know, it's a great starting point for conversations. And that's, I think, the big opportunity to create teaching modules to think about curriculum development. We'll be right back.
As educators, we often only look at information, behaviors, in the academic context. But youth are learning all of the time in all of their activities. This is especially true as the casual activities youth engage in online and in the personal and social context form new literacies and skills that can come to bear in the classroom and eventually the workplace. So from an educational point of view, we stand to learn from the new learning habits, the new skills, the new norms involved in youth's experience of information quality, both in school and out of school. The advantage is twofold. For one, as youth increasingly engage with information online for their own personal and social uses, we can work to make that experience as rich, beneficial, and as safe as possible through design and education. Secondly, as youth's engagement with information online shapes their knowledge and skills, we can channel these towards positive learning outcomes. Using these findings, we've developed teaching modules that the Youth and Media Lab has implemented over the summers on an experimental basis. So for example, from our literature review, we found a lot of findings about how youth search for health information online. We've learned that health information is one of the things that youth most commonly look for online, and this is especially true for sexual health information. Recognizing that looking for health information online is increasingly common for youth is the first step to making sure they have access to the highest quality information. We need to understand youth's search and evaluation behavior in order to design high-quality online health sources and design in-school curriculum that accounts for youth's online activities. Another interesting finding from our research that warrants further investigation is the question of how information is pushed on the internet. In focus group interviews we conducted with middle and high school students, we found that many young people get their news through social networking sites like Facebook and Twitter. That is, instead of actively looking for information on the web, they are pushed information from other users, for example, on Facebook or Tumblr or on Twitter. The question then is, how do youth assess the quality of information that they have been pushed? Oftentimes, youth trust their friends or teachers or parents' judgment, so they trust the information. Other times, youth will follow up on this pushed information with a search, looking for sources that confirm the item in question. In either case, youth then make a decision about how to use the pushed information. Do they repost it, pushing the information along to other users? Do they comment on it, contributing new content to this information package? These multiple choices and paths illustrate how the information search, evaluation, creation, and sharing process is not linear, but has multiple points of entry and feedback. The interesting question now is how youth make these decisions and how these choices shape the diffusion of information between youth and across online and offline contexts.
Quality. That was Orskasser, Nathaniel Levy, Sandra Cortese, and Ned Crowley talking about the new report on youth and information quality coming from the Youth and Media Project. You can find that report at youthandmedia.org. For Radio Berkman, I'm Daniel Dennis Jones from the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard University in Cambridge, Massachusetts. You can find us on the web at blogs.law.harvard.edu/mediaberkman.
Oh, cool. Perfect.
Is that good?